My name is Garland Robinson. You know, we all have those special days in our lives that make them unforgettable. Perhaps it may be our graduation from high school, our first job, our wedding day, maybe the birth of our firstborn child, perhaps our first job promotion. But there should be impressed in our memory another day, more important than any of all of those days put together. That's the day we obey the Lord in baptism. We obey the gospel in order to become a Christian, a child of God. The day you decide to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to let the Word of God be the guide in your life, that ought to be the most special day of your entire life. Being a Christian is explained in the Bible as a birth, a new birth. In John the 3rd chapter, we read about a man whose name was Nicodemus. He was a sincere ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus, and the Lord told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3 and verse 3. Nicodemus was a Jew, and as a Jew, he trusted in his physical birth to have brought him into a right relationship with God as a child of Abraham. He couldn't understand this idea of being born again, and so he asked, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And the Lord's answer further explained the new birth in John 3 and verse 5. When Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was a religious man, devoutly religious, but he had to make a change in his life. This change would involve entering into the kingdom of God. Jesus chose the most radical experience of human life, the birth of a human being. Becoming a Christian is not like enrolling at school or joining a club. It's the time for the most drastic change one will ever make. In this change, the old man, that old man dies. The new man lives. Paul describes this change in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 that it says, "That you now have been made alive, who were once dead in your trespasses and sins." Because we've been born again, a new life results, a different kind of life. If you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the Bible says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Therefore, we are to put to death those passions and ungodly things of our lives, fornication, uncleanness, concupiscence, that is, evil desire and lust and greed. Lie not one to another. Put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed into knowledge after the image of him that created him. Before we become Christians, we are the old man. But in surrendering to Christ, we put on the new man. That's done when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God in Romans chapter 12. Being born again means death to the old man and life for the new man. It was this radical experience that caused Paul to write, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2 and verse 20. Only the kind of change that causes one to turn his back on the former life to devote himself completely to Jesus Christ, that's the only life that can properly be called the new birth. Now let's take a moment and see how one is born of water and of the Spirit. The New Testament explains in great detail how one surrenders to Jesus. Conversion is not just an experience that happens to us. It's a radical change in which we play a part. The new birth is not simply something that happens to us. It's something which we make happen. God makes it possible for us to be born again. But we have to respond to His commands. We have to believe and obey His Word. the process of spiritual birth begins with faith in Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God." Therefore, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 4:15, "I have begotten you with or through the gospel." In Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing the word of God." James records for us in James 1:18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." And that we've been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. So it's by the word of God that we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That we are begotten of God, that is, by the Spirit, that is, through the word that the Spirit is given, and that process of spiritual birth has begun. The gospel also records that repentance is necessary. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." It's godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:10, and that it is an outgrowth of our faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. Just as there must be that developing stage that culminates in the bringing forth of a new life, so it is in the spiritual realm. Because we trust in Jesus as both Savior and Lord, we turn from our sins. And without genuine repentance, there can be no new birth. When we are led by the Spirit, that is, through the Scripture, the Word of God, we submit to the Lord in water baptism. We are born of water and of the Spirit. It's not either or, it's both. Because we trust God, because we trust the Lord, we seek to follow the Lord's commands, just as those were given in Acts 2 in verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins." We therefore believe His promise in the Great Commission of Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." When Philip preached to the man from Ethiopia, they came to a certain water, and the man said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He wanted to partake of that new birth. He wanted to go down to the waters, the old man of sin, and be raised up a new creature in Christ, a new person, be born again. Now look at how Paul describes the new birth as we turn over to Romans chapter 6. Notice beginning in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." That is what the new birth involves, being baptized into water as Jesus was buried in the tomb, raised up out of the water as Jesus was raised up from the tomb. So then we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." That is the new birth. When you are led by the Spirit, that is, through the Word of God, to put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you turn from your sin, then you are immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. That is the new birth. He is thus born of water and the teaching instruction of the Spirit. And with that old man crucified, he then lives at new life, a life of righteousness. Friend, Jesus invites you to do the same. In Matthew 11:28-30, said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." His call is for every burdened and anxious soul, for every distressed heart, for every soiled life, "Come, and I will give you rest." We read in Acts 9 about the Lord sending a preacher whose name was Ananias to a persecutor of the church whose name was Paul. That preacher found a penitent believer earnestly praying to God. Instead of doing as so many today's preachers said, well, you're already saved. Ananias told Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." Acts 22, verse 16. Saul's experience would qualify him among many today to already be born again. But he wasn't born again until he was dunked in water. That was the new birth. When he came up out of the water, he was a new man. His old man was gone. The old sins had been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. The new birth just doesn't happen. We come in full, obedient faith to the Savior, surrendering our lives to Him and to His will. And only such a drastic change can properly be called the new birth. So friend, have you been born again? Look carefully at the Bible. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Prove your own selves whether you be in the faith. Then make your calling and election sure." Follow these very clear directions of God's Word into that greatest of all changes, the new birth, conversion to Jesus Christ. Again, that involves a full, abiding, confident faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Repentance of your sins, turning from them, turn from the old life, confessing faith in Christ, saying, "I believe that He is the Lord, the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God," then being immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. The old man dies, the new man arises from that watery grave of baptism. Friend, that is the new birth. Won't you take part of it? We would love to assist you, help you, study with you further if you need to. My name is Garland Robinson.